Amen.
Come on, brother, preach for us.
All right. Let me get my mind right.
All right, then take your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16, or actually 1 Samuel chapter 17. Couldn't find my message. I'm like, where did it go? You'll stand with me. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 40. We're going to read two verses, verse 40 and verse 49. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 40 and verse 49. Bible says, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Now, verse 49. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and sling it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth.
Yeah.
Father, we're going to preach a message with you being our help. What about the other four stones?
Amen.
What about the other four stones?
Amen.
Father, we thank you for this night.
Yes,
we thank you for
God.
All you've done for us,
help.
Lord. Father, help us right now to just to rely on your word. Father,
yes,
help
sir.
Us to say only what you'll have us to say.
Yes, yes.
Father, help.
Help
us to be an encouragement,
help.
A blessing somewhere to somebody, either
yes,
in the house tonight or on live streaming, Father. All the people that watch, Father, just
yes,
do your
yes,
work wherever you can, Lord.
Please.
We love you and thank you for the opportunity that you give us. In Jesus, let me pray.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I'll play with my phone a minute ago. My wife hates when I do it, but you can't have a tag team without a bell. That's I've been dying to do that, but I never had the courage until tonight. See, now she's got. I'm in trouble. I can already tell, and I'm already thirsty. No, I'm just kidding. The story of David and Goliath is a familiar lesson I learned from my youth. I keep hearing different lessons, different stories. I love it. That's what I love about God's Word. You can read the same thing and get multiple different things out of it. It's alive. It's breathing. It just, you know, I read and read, and you'll see things that you never saw before. Me and Pastor were talking about things in the office about this whole situation with David and Goliath that I never even thought about before, but it was good. The familiar story is small David kills the giant.
Yeah.
The big giant. And that's what people always, you know, that's the most things I've heard about it, you know, how you can overcome anything with God's help, which is true.
Yeah.
But what I want to think about is the stones. What about the stones? David chose five smooth stones.
Yeah.
And he only used one. So what about the other four? I would like to look at the stones tonight. The first stone, obviously, was God's judgment of Goliath, because he threw it and it hit him in the head and he went down. Mm. You know, it was a wake-up call to the Israelite army to look what God can do for you.
Yes, sir.
And it was also a warning to the Philistines to look what God is going to do to you. Mm-hmm. So tonight, Pastor's going to hit the first point, the first stone of courage.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And when you think about that stone of courage, and these are, and that's your time, so I still got
go
time
for
after
it.
That.
Preach.
Amen. I'm just letting y'all know. All right, but anyhow, we think about something smooth. A stone, this is a smooth stone. And I was telling Brother Earl, we was down in Georgia, this preacher talked about these smooth stones. And he talked about how they had, when he was a boy, they had made some slingshots. And after they made these slingshots, they had a lot of work to get them done. They were really good slingshots. And they grabbed some different rocks or gravel and put it in those slingshots. And when they would pull them and shoot them, guess what happened? They wouldn't go anywhere. And so they thought there was something wrong with the slingshot. And then his dad happened to see them doing that. And he went and picked up a smooth stone and he put it in there, and that joker flew. And you need a smooth stone if you're going to shoot something straight and hit it, amen? And when you think about that smooth stone, we're talking now about these stones, we need courage. If you're going to face a giant, you're going to have some courage. If you don't have any courage, my dear friends, then you're probably not going out there. And watch what the Bible says about David. We see that David had courage. Courage is defined as this. It is the quality of mind or spirit that enables a person to face difficulty, danger, pain without fear, or bravery. And verse 34, the Bible says this. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there, out of the flock, Well, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. There we see that David had courage when he killed the lion and the bear. But why did he have courage? You know why he had courage? Because he believed that there was a God that would enable him to face the enemy that he was about to face. And when you and I begin to say, well, I ain't got any courage, remember that you do have a God. You have the Holy Ghost of God that lives on the inside, and the Bible tells us he'll give us more power than you and I can even ask or think. So therefore, my friends, that's what gives us the courage to go forward to face the giants that we'll face in our life. But over that, I look down at verse number 40, and the Bible says this, and he took his staff in his hand, the Bible says, and chosen five smooth stones out of the brook. He put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in the strip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. What I thought about was this. God will give us courage over what we may look at as the small things, but those small things will help us to face what? The bigger things. This ain't nothing deep. The bigger things. You know? So therefore, my dear friends, when you and I trust God in the small things, it will help us when we face the bigger things that we'll face in life. Because we'll look back at how God helped us here and say, wait a minute, the same God that helped me back here is the same God that can help me right here. So therefore, I can stand in courage that I've got a God that gave me the strength that I need to have to face the giants that I need to face. Hallelujah. Hey, we're going to get done there. Amen. Hallelujah.
There you go.
Devil.
The second stone, God's anointing. This is one time I'm glad my son has a lot of stone. My son has an affinity for rocks. He's going to be a geologist someday. So I was looking in my wife to give me an idea. She's like, why don't you get some smooth stones? I'm like, really? It's cold outside. There's snow. Where? And she's like, on the front porch. And there they were. Thank you, Ethan. Stones, we've got to turn to or go over a couple of page or so over to chapter 16 of 1 Samuel. Verses 12 and 13. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of the brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Now, Samuel went to find the next king. He went through all of Jesse's sons, and he said, is this it? And he said, no, I have one young son. And he said, bring him. And when he got there, the Lord told him, God said, this is it. This is the man. He was anointed. Now, God can use anyone.
Yeah.
The anointing can come on anyone. I've seen preachers that get behind the pulpit, and they preach their heart out. They're jumping around, and they're giving it all. And I see people in the stand just... And I don't know why. And I've seen guys get up behind the pulpit, glasses on, little short, just nothing special, nothing exciting, open the Bible and read, and people just flood the altars. And it's like, wow, what is that? Steve, can you turn me down just a little bit, please? And it's the God's anointing was on that guy. Now, it wasn't the same meeting. You know, obviously it wasn't the same meeting, but it was different times. And I wonder, God can use anybody. You can be big, you can be small, you can be old, you can be young, you can be little, you can be uneducated, you can be educated. It doesn't matter. If God's anointing is on you, he'll use you.
Yeah.
And you can do great things.
Amen.
Let's look at 1 Samuel 16, verse 11. The first part of it says, and Samuel said unto Jesse, these are all my children. He said, there remaineth yet the youngest. He wasn't the oldest. David wasn't the oldest.
Right.
He wasn't the most experienced. All his brothers, three of his brothers were soldiers in the army. So they had more experiences dealing with sheep, dealing with the farm, dealing with the animals trying to attack their sheep. So he wasn't the oldest. So you don't have to be old and experienced to let God use you
right.
with anointing. The second part of that verse says, and Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down until he come hither. He was a shepherd, not a soldier. David wasn't a soldier. David had no formal training except for fighting with the animals. You know, he fought. Now, I'm telling you, I've been up close and personal with bears. Not a lion, just at the zoo. But when you see them things, I would not want to tangle with a cub, a bear cub, or even a little lion. They outrun you, they can eat you, and they're stronger than you. People think, I'll outrun a bear. No, you can't.
Yeah.
Bears will run about 35 miles an hour. And, oh, by the way, I'll climb a tree. No, they'll climb it or they'll knock it down. So that's that. So David had experience with all the animals, but he wasn't a soldier. He had no formal training on how to fight. Now, you've seen soldiers that fight, and you've seen people that aren't soldiers fight, and you can tell the obvious difference.
Yeah.
They know exactly how to attack, when to attack, and how to defend themselves. So David, he was not a soldier. With God's anointing, you can do anything. Now, think about Noah. He was old, and he built a mighty ship. You know, he wasn't. You know, he had his God's anointing. He did what God told him to do. Look at the boy with the fishes. He only had a little bit of food, and he gave it, and all those people were fed. God anointed the food and blessed the meal so they all can eat. And look at Paul. He was one of the greatest enemies of the Jews. His sole life's purpose was to go out and find them and to kill them.
Yes, sir.
For their Christian beliefs. But God said, guess what? I'm going to take the absolute worst and make him one of the absolute best.
Amen. Amen.
So God's anointing came on Paul and changed his life, changed his name, changed his outlook, changed what he did, and he did mighty things for the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God, amen. Amen. So what you need, what? You need not only courage, you need God's anointing, but you also need to stay a stone of focus. Focus, amen. And now that probably should be a bigger stone for focus. But nonetheless, that's our problem sometimes. That's too small, amen. But nonetheless, we need a stone of focus. Sometimes we get off focus, amen. And but look what the Bible says back over in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 29. The Bible says this. And David said, his brother's getting on him. And David said in verse 29, what have I now done? What have I done? He says, is there not a cause? So when you and I have a stone of focus, we need to focus on the cause. What cause? Here is this ugly giant out here, and he's defying the army of a living God. And David says, wait a minute. There's a cause here. There's a fight that needs to be fought right here. My dear friends, we must stay focused on the cause. When you and I lose focus on the cause, then we find ourselves getting in trouble. I was talking to a preacher not too long ago, and God seemed to be pouring out his hand and pouring out his blessings upon his life. And I began to tell him, I said, you know what? It's because you've gotten back focused, amen. And sometimes, my friends, we lose focus. And I never forget my pastor said. He said this. He said, you know what? Make sure we keep the main thing the main thing. And sometimes, my dear friends, we get sidetracked, you know. When I think about this, I can't help but think about the elections that took place. A lot of preachers, a lot of good men of God had lost focus because of the elections. And therefore, my friends, the focus was off the main cause, which is winning people to Jesus Christ. I don't care if you're Republican. I don't care if you're Democrat. That's not my cause. That's not my focus. My focus, my friends, is on Jesus Christ. Woo! And him alone, amen. And David said, is there not a cause? There's a giant that needs to be fought, and his name is Goliath. Now, what does the Bible show us next? He was full of a cause, but also he was focused on the Lord. Look at verse 37. The Bible says, David said, moreover, the Lord, I like this, that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, what is man, boy? Go! Go! And the Lord be with thee. Why? Because David's focus, my friends, was not only on the cause, but his focus was on the Lord. Look what the Bible says, and I'll drop down the verse, chapter number, we'll be in now, verse 45. Look what it says here, in verse number 45. The Bible says this in 45. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a shield. But guess what? I come, not in my name, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord God, the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies, of whom thou hast defied. Look at verse 46 says, this day will the Lord deliver, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. I will smite thee and take thine head, big boy, from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a big man named David in Israel. No. There is a God in Israel. He was focused, my friends, not on the cause, but it was focused, my friends, on the Lord. Watch the Bible says next, in verse number 47. And all the assembly, the Bible says, shall know what? That the Lord saveth, not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. We say, preacher, are you focused on the fact that it's the Lord that give you the victory? Are you focused on the cause? And then lastly, my dear friends, not only that, he was focused on his target. Look what the Bible says. This is a good outline, brother. Look what the Bible says in verse 49. And David put his hand in the bag and took thence a stone. The Bible says, and he slung it. He was Southern. And he slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his head, his forehead, and he fell upon the earth, the Bible says, what? There, later on. But notice, he was focused on his target. Are you and I focused on our target? Are we focused on the cause? Are we focused on the Lord? Each of us has a target that God wants us to aim for. But if you're not careful and you get off your target, you're going to miss your mark. And when you miss your mark, that means, my friends, that you're sinned.
The next stone, the last stone, the stone of dependability.
Yes, sir.
Turn back to chapter 16 and verse 11 and 12. And Samuel said to Jesse, here are all thy children. And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. He came when his dad called. Now, when I was a kid, we didn't have cell phones, obviously. We used to carry CBs, which was kind of cool. My dad was big into CBs, and I had a little portable, but that was later on. When we were kids, we would play all over the neighborhood. Now, some of you guys, you know, now it's just not like that. I don't see kids playing in the neighborhood anymore, and I don't understand why. But maybe someday we can get back to that. But that's where I learned to play baseball and football in the neighborhood with all the other kids. Now, my dad's like, well, Dad, I'm going over to Rodney's house. We're going to play baseball. Now, my friend Rodney lived just behind us in over a house, so he could see the house from the backyard. And when my dad said, I'll call you when it's time to come home, I said, okay. So we'd play all day, just play and play and play. Wiffle ball, tennis ball, didn't matter. We were playing baseball. We were hitting people's houses. People were yelling at us. We were yelling back, you know, all that good stuff. Well, eventually, time come, I hear, Michael! And I pretended not to hear it. Come on, we can play another round. We can do another round. Come on, let's go. Let's go. And I hear, Michael! I see you! Get home now! Yes, Dad. I'll be right there. Come on, one more pitch. He goes, no, not another pitch. I'm like, man, what is he right behind me or something? So I get on my bike and go home. When my dad called, I came.
Yeah.
My dad calls me now on the phone. Hey, Mike, I need some help with something. I'll be right there, Dad. You know, he called me. I was on my way to Indianapolis, my job. He said, my sister called, I'm sorry. And she said, Dad's having a hard time with the hot water heater. He needs you to help him change the thermostat or the hemostat. I said, what's wrong with it? She's like, he can't get it out. I said, okay. I said, why can't he get it out? My dad's a boiler. That's what he did. He worked on boilers. And he does this in sleep. She's like, he can't get on the ground and lay down that long to get it out. It hurts. I said, okay. I'll be there. I'm in Indianapolis. So it's going to be a few hours. And she's like, okay. Well, fortunately, my neighbor works at Myers Heating Air Conditioning. He got home before I got back from Indy, and he came and fixed it for him. Well, he just took it out. My dad put it back in. Like I said, in the sleep, he just put it back in. It was all good. And the guy came back over and checked it. But my dad calls me, I come.
Yeah.
When Sharon's dad calls me, on the rare occasion he calls me, I drop what I'm doing and I go. See, what's important to me, and you guys all know this, you know, Sharon lost her mom, you know, Thanksgiving. But Sharon's mom and dad, and I said this before, I don't know if I've ever said it publicly, Sharon's mom and dad treated me just as well as my own parents. Yeah. It wasn't like, I wasn't just a son-in-law, I was like one of their kids.
Yes.
You know, if I did something wrong, they would tell me. You know, I didn't like to hear it sometimes, but I listened. Because I just had so much respect for them, I wouldn't say, you know, whatever. I may go home and went, your mom and dad's kind of rough on me. And Sharon's like, Mike, you're wrong. I'm like, no. And she's like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, you're right. But they did. They respected me, and they treated me like I was their own. I never had it was great having two sets of parents. I loved it. But when they called me, I came running. Now, look at we're going to read verse 17 through 21. And Saul said unto his servants in chapter 16, provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I've seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing and mighty valiant man and a man of war and prudent in matters and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David, thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David, his son, unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Mm-hmm. When the king called David, David came.
Yeah.
He was needed. So David came. He was dependable. He didn't say, well, I got all these sheep to watch. I really can't, you know, take time out. You know, how about next Thursday? No. He said, he needs you. And he went. David came when the king called.
Amen.
Look at verse 15. Saul's servant said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. I'm sorry. Try this again. Chapter 17, verse 15. Chapter 17, verse 15. The Bible says, but David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. When David was done with Saul, he went back to work.
Yes.
When he came, he was called, he came, he was dependable. You know, sometimes you get sidetracked and you get pulled off your job or off something you're doing. And when you're done, you're like, well, you know, I got a couple minutes to kill. I can just, you know, go sit down, flip the channel or something. No, he went right back to work. We may be doing something for the Lord and something sidetracks us, but when we finish that thing that we're done, we don't need to put God on and say, well, I'll get to you later. No, we need to go right back
Amen.
To the king
Amen.
And get it done. So, a stone of courage, a stone of God's anointing, a stone of focus, and a stone of dependability. Come on, Pastor, wrap this up.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we see all these things, my dear friends, that these stones could represent. They could represent courage, anointing, focus, and dependability. Now, here are the questions. Do you have that courage? If you don't have that courage, why don't you have that courage? The Bible says over in Timothy, 1 Timothy, I believe it's 1:7, that I've not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So number one, do you need that courage? Number two, are you focused on the Lord? Or have you lost your focus? If you lost your focus, it's time to get your focus back on the Lord. Get your focus back on those things that are the most important things that God has given us to focus on. And then thirdly, my dear friends, hey, when he calls, are you dependable? Can God depend upon you to answer the call that he gives? And then lastly, do you have that anointing? Do you know what that anointing means simply? It means also this, simply have the blessings of God. His blessings are on you. He has anointed you. He has called you. He has his touch on you. And like he said a few moments ago, a person can stand up and they can, I've actually seen a person stand up and sing the Lord's Prayer all off key, off note, and every other thing. And I'm going to tell you what, my dear friend, the Holy Ghost came in there and folks were drawn to the altars and got helped by the Master's touch. Why? Because that little lady had the anointing of God upon her life. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to have that anointing, then your vessel has to be clean. And by the way, you don't clean your own vessel. You let him clean your vessel. How do you get your vessel clean? By the word. The word cleans us. The word cleans your mind. The word cleans your heart. That's why the enemy fights you so much, in reading the Word of God. Because the Word of God will change your way of thinking.
That's right.
The way that you used to think, you won't think anymore. Why? Because you're filling your mind up with the Word of God. By the way, the same thing happens when you fill your mind up with other stuff. You fill your mind up with murder. And I was joking around with Julie sometimes. I said, man, at times I walk in the bedroom and watch TV. We watching Murder Mayhem. Amen. I mean, we're watching the lady she killed her husband and or poisoning people. And I don't know, just different crazy stuff, you know. You know, but I don't want to watch that. I mean, I like Law and Order, you know, but there's a time to cut Law and Order off and give me something funny, amen. Or give me some sporting event. Can I get an amen off that?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the
Lord. Preach.
But preach, amen. But nonetheless. But nonetheless, whatever you are feeding your mind, that is going to be what dominates your mind. I like what Brother Brett said not too long ago when he said he wants to be able to have that same type of knowledge, so to speak, about God's word like he does with sports. You ask him about certain types of sports, he can boom, 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 boom. But at the same time, he can say, you know what? I need to know the Bible like I know about the NBA, like I know about the NFL, like I know about the NHL, like I know about any other L. Amen. I need to know more about the Word of God. But that means, my dear friends, that you and I have to be focused. And I'm going to say this to you. You don't want to wander around in life with no focus. Don't just be wandering around without any kind of focus. For these young people, time is moving. Time, I told you, when I came up here, I was 30 years old. Had just turned 30. Now I'm about to turn 48. That's been almost 18 years ago. Almost, but it doesn't seem like that to me. But time is moving. Time is moving. And what happened is this. We'll start saying to ourselves, oh, I've got time. Or then we'll wind up looking back, man, I wish I had that time again like I have right now. Listen, stay focused. Stay focused. Stay tuned into God. And I tell you what, you'll have those stones of courage, of that anointing. You'll have that the focus. You'll have the dependability. You'll have whatever stone that might be that you need to have to do what? To fight the good fight of faith.
Amen.
What do you need this evening? God's got it. All you have to do is come and get it. Father, thank you for your minimum for blessing. I've done my best to present, and Mike has too, to present the Word of God to these precious souls that have gathered here tonight, as well as those who are watching and will watch later. And I just pray, God, simply this, that each of us will realize that there are many stones that we need to have to fight the good fight of faith. These are just a few things that we focused on. And we need courage. We need dependability. But we need that anointing. We need that focus if we are going to fight the good fight of faith. If we are going to slay the giants that we have to face from day to day. There are some folks that are going to be facing a huge giant this coming week. Matter of fact, there's some that's going to be facing a huge giant on tomorrow. But I pray and ask God that you help each of us to face these giants and fight these giants with the stones that you'll give us to be able to overcome the adversary that we will be faced with. And for that, God will thank you. And then, God, whoever you're calling to talk to for a few moments, I pray that they'll make their way to an old-fashioned altar and talk to a holy God that knows how to empower them to be victorious in the days, weeks, months, and years to come. Then perhaps, God, that somebody will come and say this, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for helping me to stay focused. Thank you, Lord, for helping me to stay tuned into you. Thank you, Lord, for helping me to have the courage to face what I've got to face. And for that, Father, we'll thank you. Whatever the needs are, help us to respond. Maybe I didn't even mention whatever it is, but I pray, God, they respond. Perhaps there's one among us who needs to come forward and say, no, it's time for me to get it settled about my salvation. I pray, God, they come. Lord, somebody needs your help. Help us. For us in your Son's name we pray, Jesus, amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Perhaps the Master.